that was good stuff. Sometimes, yeah. Praise the Lord. How many of you like gifts? Like to get gifts? Especially from somebody that you know really cares? Don't you appreciate the gifts? Well, God is a gift giver. And we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, God is a gift giver. He gave his one and only Son so that we might have eternal life. He gives us eternal life. But he also gives us spiritual gifts. And just a quick review, this last couple of weeks we've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, which is really the gifts of the Spirit. There's three main categories: gifts of comprehension, gifts of capability, and gifts of communication. And we talked last week about gifts of capability, I believe it was. The word of wisdom, which is supernatural guidance situations. The word of knowledge, which is supernaturally knowing the unknowable. And discerning of spirits is seeing into the spirit world. And then the most recent was, we talked about faith, which is absolute trust in God that sees with certainty and waits without wavering. And then there's gifts of healing. Oh boy, I'm thankful for this gift. The supernatural ability to cure sickness, disability, and cast out all kinds of infirmities. God grants that gift. And then miraculous powers, a supernatural demonstration of power that overrides nature. God is able to do all of these things. And he grants them as gifts to his people. And he lets us be a part of doing the stuff, even. Isn't that cool? Thankful for the gifts that God gives. Now today we're going to focus on the gifts of communication, as I call them. And there's three here. There's three in each category. And so today we're going to talk, first of all, about prophecy. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance given to the church to edify, exhort, or comfort. Now let me just clarify. Edify means to build up or strengthen. Exhort means to stir up or motivate. And comfort is kind of obvious, to inspire, encourage, or console. Prophecy does all of those things. Now, when we say something is prophetic, sometimes we use that in a general sense to describe spiritual giftedness. For instance, when a person operates in a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discernment, or prophecy, we tend to call all of that prophetic. Okay? But specifically, the term prophetic is referring to anything inspired by or spoken of on behalf of God. And so all those things are, in a sense, prophetic because it's an inspired word from the Lord that is spoken. It's a message divinely inspired and delivered to others in the church. Now, those people that operate in this gift usually are sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, as well as they're connected and they're aware of things going on in the church body, and God brings them all together to give a word to encourage his people. Now, prophecy sometimes involves predicting the future. And this is what most people think of when you think of prophecy, is telling the future. But biblically, that's only a part of what prophecy is. And the gift of prophecy is not necessarily linked with the office of the prophet. And boy, we could spend a whole session just talking about all of that stuff. But, you know, there were prophets who spoke on behalf of God throughout the Bible. But this gift of prophecy is not limited just to people that have that anointing as a prophet. It can be anybody that God inspires to give a word. Now, even though it's an inspired word from the Lord, it's not on the level of the Word of God, the Bible. Okay, let me be clear. In fact, Paul tells us in his writings that we should test those things that are spoken against the Word of God to make sure it all lines up. Okay, and here's the simple truth. We're fleshly people, right? And so sometimes our flesh kind of gets in the way of things and mingles in there, okay? And so we need to know the Word of God from the Bible so that we know the absolute truth, and then we can kind of sort out where somebody perhaps gives a word and a bunch of it's from the Lord, but a little bit of it maybe came from their own, you know, you have to sort all that stuff out. And Paul tells us to do that. Test it against the Word of God. And so the message in a gift of prophecy is always going to be in harmony with the Word. Okay, the Bible is our final say. Never going to waver from that stance. I'm all for these gifts, but they do not trump the Word of God. All right? The gift of prophecy never takes the place of preaching or teaching, but rather they should work in harmony. In fact, I think that all sermons given should be at least partially prophetic. Okay? In other words, that when I preach, I am praying and asking God that at least some of what I say is very specific for these people for this day, inspired by God. Okay? Because I could just operate off of a curriculum and just give a generic Bible message, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I am praying that God will have something very specific each time that I speak. That would make it prophetic then. Am I making sense? Okay. Now there's biblical examples of this in Numbers chapter 11. It doesn't elaborate a whole lot, but when Moses, he was anointed of God, and God was going to share that anointing with 70 other elders. And it says when that happened, they all prophesied. Doesn't really describe what exactly that was, but they prophesied. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Saul was anointed the king of Israel, he prophesied. In Luke chapter 1, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, visited her relative Elizabeth, Elizabeth prophesied. Also in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah prophesied when John was born. In Acts 19, verse 6, the Ephesian disciples received the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. And then Acts 21, there's a couple of instances. Philip had four unmarried daughters who were prophesying. And also Agabus, this is one where he kind of predicted the future. He prophesied about Paul going to Jerusalem. So there's a lot of biblical examples of this gift of prophecy. Now, how does this work? It's a spoken word inspired by the Spirit to build up faith, to warn or stir up the church, and to confirm the word of truth. And prophecy can come through dreams, visions, or just simply a revelation to the mind. Okay? Sometimes a prophetic word is something that, you just something pops into your head and it just seems like that's from God. I need to say that. Other times it might be something that you dreamt about and it wasn't one of those weird, does anybody have, aren't your normal dreams just totally random and weird and all pieced to, you know, all over the map? That's the way mine are too. And so if I have a dream that really just is coherent, makes a whole lot of sense and kind of spiritual, I'm thinking, okay, that's probably from God, because normally that's not the way it goes. And sometimes God can speak that way. And we see that in the Bible. I know in our modern culture, we kind of steer away from that stuff. But biblically, God spoke to people in dreams many times. So why wouldn't he still do that today if he did it in the Bible? Okay? Now, some have experienced this gift in operation when God gives insight into something before it happens. Also, I believe that, as I said, a lot of preaching is prophetic because it is God's specific message for a specific people at a specific time. That makes it prophetic. God wants to say this today to you. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, and I've been quoting part of this verse lately, it says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but then it goes on and says, especially the gift of prophecy. So Paul says, all these gifts are good, but you should really go after this prophecy. Because it is God inspiring a word directly to a specific situation at a specific time, and boy, is that useful. Have you ever been in a situation where you just wish you know exactly what God wants you to do right now? Okay, prophecy can solve that problem because God can speak right to that situation right at that moment and give you clear direction. We need this gift. You missed your cue, people. Thank you. All right. The next one is tongues. This is the supernatural power to speak in a language not known by the speaker for a specific purpose of God. Now, let me just put this out there right up front. This subject is one that some people are unsure about. Okay? Some think it's strange and don't want anything to do with it. But remember, this is a gift from God, just as much as wisdom or healing or knowledge or any of the others. It's a gift from God. And there's scriptural foundation for the gift. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah 28 and Joel chapter 2 both predicted that there would come a time when people would speak in tongues. Jesus talked about it in Mark chapter 16. We see it in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit first came on those early believers and they spoke in tongues. And then we see that throughout Acts when people experience the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Most of the time it's recorded that they spoke in tongues. As well, there's several chapters in the Bible that deal with the subject of speaking in tongues. Okay? So even though this might be a subject people are a little uncomfortable with, it's very biblical, and so it's my duty to expound upon it from time to time. So I'm doing that today. The purpose of the gift, why tongues? Okay, well, here's one. It's a sign of the Spirit's infilling. Okay, we see that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. People receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the people around them knew something happened because they were speaking in tongues. So it was kind of an evidence that, okay, something's going on here, because they're not talking English no more, or in their day, they're not talking Greek no more, which that seems kind of backward, doesn't it? Because we say it's all Greek to me. So it was an evidence of something phenomenal happening. Tongues is also given so that we can pray to God. We can speak. It's a spiritual prayer. In fact, I like to call it prayer language. That's my preference for how to term it. And that's just a personal thing because the Bible just simply calls it praying in the Spirit or tongues. Prayer language just works for me. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about praying with the Spirit and praying with understanding. There's a distinction. We can pray in tongues. We can pray in English. We can even sing in the Spirit, according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 tells us that anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. And so here we are talking to God in tongues. This gift makes up for the inadequacy of words. Have you ever had such a prayer burden that you really didn't even know how to pray? You ever had that? Well, tongues can make up for that because it's the Spirit connecting with God's Spirit. And the Scripture also tells us that the Spirit helps in our weakness and intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Romans 8:26. There are times when we just don't know what to say or how to pray, but there's something stirring in our hearts and we got to say something. So we pray in tongues and God connects all the dots. Another reason the gift of tongues is given is simply to exalt and magnify God. Acts 10:46, when those people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they began speaking in tongues and praising God. Hand in hand, tongues and praising God. In Acts chapter 2, when those 120 disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, the people around them said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in these other tongues." So it's to exalt and magnify God. Another aspect of tongues is for edification, simply to edify. According to 1 Corinthians 14:4, when we pray in the Spirit, it edifies ourselves. It builds ourselves up. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:5 and a little bit later in the chapter, and I'll expound on this a little bit more later, says that when tongues is interpreted, then it's for the edification of the entire church. Other people are built up. And just like the rest of all the gifts, it's given and good. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, all these are given. So that's why we have the gift. Now, let me say this. This gift should not cause confusion. Although it often does. Just be perfectly honest. Sometimes it does. But Paul spends a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, elaborating on this gift of tongues because he doesn't want there to be confusion. Okay? In fact, in my experience over the years, some have suggested that this is an overwhelming urge by the Holy Spirit to speak and thereby disrupt everything else that's going on. And that sponsors confusion. Okay? However, Paul expounds on the truth that everything should be done in an orderly manner. That's what he says. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, he tells us that the speaker has control over the gift. So it's not like the Holy Spirit just takes over and you got no control. No. The Holy Spirit prompts and then you cooperate. Okay? Also, Paul also gives guidelines that only two or three should speak. So there is you can put a limit to it. And then he even says if there isn't anybody to interpret, then you shouldn't speak in tongues. Okay? He gives guidelines about all of that. So this is a gift from God and should not bring confusion. But some have objected to this particular gift and, in my opinion, brought even more confusion. They welcome healing and knowledge and wisdom, but tongues, oh, baby. I don't, but it's right there in the same scripture. How do you single one thing out when it's all right there mixed together? And some will say, well, you know, that Acts chapter 2, that was just hysteria or intense emotion that swept over those 120. They were grieving over the death of Christ, you know, and something just overcame them, and so we don't need to copy that. But the disciples were doing exactly what Jesus had instructed them to do. Go wait in the upper room. That's what they were doing. And then 3,000 people got saved on that day because of what was going on. Okay, that doesn't sound like hysterical emotions. That was the Spirit of God moving. In fact, interestingly, some of you have heard this before, but Nightline Online years ago actually did a report on this phenomenon of speaking in tongues. Very interesting. The report actually studied brain scans of people praying in tongues and compared those with people simply praying in English. And the results strongly suggest that something extraordinary is happening, and the results clearly indicate that praying in tongues is not just some hyped up gibberish that people are manufacturing. That was the results of their test. Now, they couldn't explain fully what was going on, but they concluded that whatever was going on was genuine. Nightline Online did this report, this study. Okay, that's cool. Now, here's another thing that some people have said over the years, that tongues was given only for missionary purposes, so that these people could speak in the language of other people and then win them to Christ. And, you know, and we see that to some degree in Acts chapter 2, because 120 were filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues, and people recognized the language, and then they came to the Lord. So there is an element of truth here. However, what you need to understand is that all of those people also had a common language that Peter could have just spoke to them in the common language. Absolutely. And they also understood temple services. So if it was only for missionary purposes, then it really wasn't necessary. Because God could have just inspired Peter to speak in the common language. Now, here's what I run into more than anything. Some people simply think this is a strange practice and should be avoided. That's weird. Tongue talkers are weird. (laughs) And you know, if I look at it from just a purely natural human viewpoint, I would tend to agree. Yeah, that is kind of weird. But I can't look at it strictly that way because I know what the Bible says. I'm trying to be a man of God. And the Word talks about speaking in tongues. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:39 says very plainly, do not forbid speaking in tongues. Plain and simple. And so there are some that they're so against tongues. And I'm like, what do you do with that verse? I mean, I get it if you feel weird about it and it just doesn't fit your situation, whatever. But it says don't forbid it. And it doesn't mince any words at all. So how do you get away from that? Okay? So am I making a pretty good case that tongues is a biblical thing and it's a gift from God? Okay. Now, let me just do a little comparing between tongues and prophecy. Both are forms of speech that are inspired by God. Prophecy is speaking to people. Tongues is speaking to God, according to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 and 3. Prophecy edifies others. Tongues edifies the self. And 1 Corinthians 14:5 says that prophecy is greater than tongues unless tongues is accompanied by an interpretation. Okay? And so apparently prophecy and tongues plus interpretation then become roughly the same thing according to Scripture. Now, examples of this. These last couple of gifts that I'm talking about are only found in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, we see the 120 get baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and they speak in tongues. In Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles at Cornelius' house got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, there were some new disciples at Ephesus that received the gift of the Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Okay, I generally believe if it can happen in the Bible, it can happen today. Okay, now how does this work? Well, with tongues, there is a little bit of clarification we need to make. I believe the Bible clarifies that there's personal tongues and there's public tongues. Let me clarify. Personally, through a person's voice, the Holy Spirit speaks in an unknown language to pray. Prayer language. So even when I'm all by myself, I can pray in tongues. Prayer language. Now, publicly, through the Holy Spirit, a person is given a message to speak in an unknown language in the assembly of the church. And then the Bible says that needs to be interpreted. And then it's comparable to prophecy and serves to edify and exhort others. And so tongues and interpretation go hand in hand when it's done publicly. Now, if you've been coming here for any length of time, you've probably heard this gift. Okay? There are a number of people present that pray in tongues frequently, and you may have overheard them. Can I get an amen? Amen. Some of you pray in tongues here? Okay, good. And so likely, if you're sitting next to somebody, you may have heard them praying in tongues. Okay? And on occasion, we have had a few people that felt moved to speak out publicly in tongues so that it could be interpreted and then build up the whole church. We still embrace this stuff, folks. It's in the Bible. Okay? Now, the public aspect of tongues then needs to be married to the final gift, which is the interpretation of tongues. Okay? The interpretation of tongues is a supernatural ability through the Holy Spirit to give the meaning of tongues in a known language for the edification of the church. Okay? So somebody just stands up front and speaks in tongues out loud. What good does that do the whole church? Unless it's interpreted. And I'm almost quoting the scripture verbatim. It really doesn't do much good to shout it out loud in tongues unless there's an interpretation. Then that's beneficial for everybody. Okay? And this gift is a miracle. A person who does not even know or understand a language is enabled supernaturally by the Spirit to interpret this unknown language fluently and perfectly. Wow. I know about this much Spanish. And I could not be an interpreter for Spanish. Okay? But by the power of the Holy Spirit, the interpreter is able to just say what was being said. Now, according to the scripture, the interpreter might be the one who gave the message. So a person could speak in tongues and then right away interpret it, according to the Bible. But also, and I think in more common practice, somebody speaks in tongues and somebody else provides an interpretation. Both are biblical. Now, let's be clear. This is an interpretation, not a translation. There's a big difference. If you know anything about language at all, it's a huge difference between interpretation and translation. To interpret means to give the meaning of a message. To translate means to turn from one own language to another language, word for word. Okay? That's why if you've ever heard this combination of gifts, sometimes one of them is noticeably longer than the other one. Sometimes it works that way. It's because it's an interpretation. Okay? And in fact, if I'm interpreting things that my wife tells me, and this is just even in English, okay, English to English, I will give the Reader's Digest version. Okay? My interpretation is condensed. Okay? And spiritually, the interpretation kind of works that same way, that it's giving the essence of what was being said, not necessarily word for word. Okay? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 6, when the gift of tongues is interpreted, it can be a revelation from God or a word of knowledge. It can be prophecy or simply a word of instruction. Okay? So here's another reference that suggests that when the gift of tongues is interpreted, it's similar to prophecy, which I stated earlier. Prophecy and tongues with interpretation are essentially the same thing. Now, biblical examples. Paul spends a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians giving instructions about tongues and interpretation. So if this wasn't real, why would he need to give instructions about it? Okay, so the instructions give us evidence that this is legit. Okay? Also, just in real life experience, practical experience today, at times people have heard an interpretation, say somebody speaks in tongues, somebody else gives an interpretation, and very frequently I have observed that somebody else will say, you know, I think that was kind of the same impression I had. Even though I wasn't the one to get up and give the interpretation, somebody else did, but boy, those same thoughts are going through my mind. See, that's a confirmation. God's already stirring that in people. Now, the most profound experience I could think of happened many years ago at the Jefferson Open Bible Church where I grew up. I was there, saw this and heard this in person. There were some African missionaries visiting our church. And during the service, somebody spoke in tongues aloud and somebody else interpreted that message in tongues. The African missionaries recognized the language that was spoken in tongues and said the interpretation was pretty right on. Whoa. Okay. Jack Hayford also talks about speaking in tongues to somebody and they recognize what he was saying. It's not always something that somebody's going to recognize right away, but those are confirmations that this stuff is legit. It's for real. Now, how does this work? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the interpreter is given revelation to the mind and speaks the meaning of the message in tongues, and then that brings edification and exhortation. So, you know, somebody speaks in tongues, there's other people in the room who are like, are going to be saying, okay, God, what do you want to say here? And then just some thoughts will start flowing. That's how interpretation works. And it takes a measure of faith, because we all would think, is that just me making stuff up? But the Holy Spirit can prompt those things, and we need to step out in faith. Now let me just summarize all the gifts. There's 9 of them we've talked about, but let me say this. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to attract attention to the gospel, to build up the church, provide evidence of the presence of God with his people. The gifts are a proof of the divine call and commission. The gifts are used to meet the needs of God's people and to confirm the truth of God's word. And so really my main thought here is the gifts of the Spirit are not so you can be a show-off. Okay? It's to benefit others and build people up. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that really the only acceptable motive in the ministry of gifts is love. So if you want a gift so that you can be a big shot, that's improper. If you want the gift so you can bless others, that's on the mark. Okay? All the gifts are resident in the Spirit, and they are in harmony, so they're never used competitively or in confusion. And this is part of the reason I'm taking time to talk about each of the gifts, because I don't want there to be confusion. I want you to understand. In fact, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant. I want you to know about this stuff. And then the gifts are manifested by the Spirit through believers baptized in the Holy Spirit who place themselves in position to be so used by submission, faith, and obedience. So basically, it's if you're one of those that says, God, if you're giving out a gift, I want one, and I want to bless others with it, and I'll do what you tell me to do with it, then you are a candidate to receive gift of the Spirit. Anyone. Or all, or one at a time, and different one at another time. However the Spirit wills, that's what it says. Now these 9 are the primary gifts of the Spirit. There are other gifts listed in the Scripture a little more randomly, things like serving, encouraging, giving, leadership, administration, and a whole bunch more. But this Scripture that we've been focusing on is where it really zeroes in on these 9 spiritual gifts. And I want to say one more time, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's what the Scripture says. Now, I know sometimes there are people that this is kind of new territory and you're not sure what to think. Well, just go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. To me, it's as simple as that. The understanding of it and how it all operates, we can figure that out as we go. But let's start here with eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Okay? I want this stuff. How about you? And it's become the theme of my prayer this year that we would have demonstrations of power. And so healings, miracles, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, faith, all of it. That's a demonstration of God's power. I want this. So let's eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Amen? All right. Guys, lead us in the song one more time.